Poetry, Nitziv tells us, is different than prose. Poetry may have few words, but therefore the delight in the study of a poem can be found in the fact that it requires careful, constant examination to uncover its true meaning, a meaning that is often multifaceted. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, Episode 13, Paul Dirac versus Poetry. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman. This episode of 10-Minute Mitzvah is generously sponsored by Ron O'Day.
I believe that it was in a book by the writer James Gleick that I came upon an amusing quote from the physicist Paul Dirac, who was apparently mocking another physicist who had a penchant for poetry. Dirac said, "I do not see how a man can work on the frontiers of physics and write poetry at the same time. They are in opposition. In science, you want to say something that nobody knew before, in words that everyone can understand. In poetry, you are trying to say what everyone knows already in words that nobody can understand." So Dirac apparently said. But the truth is, of course, that poetry is a way of expressing a profound truth in a manner that cannot be captured by prose. We bear this in mind as we consider the way Jewish tradition has seen the Torah, beginning with a bit of poetry from the man who is seen as the father of modern Hebrew poetry, Chaim Nachman Bialik. One of Bialik's most famous poems is HaMatmid, which is an ode to the Masmid, the devotee of Talmud study, who would sit all day in the yeshiva learning. Bialik writes with some awe, but also ambivalence and cynicism about the yeshiva where he once studied, Volozhin, known as the first of all the major Lithuanian yeshivot in Europe. He describes his fellow yeshiva student as a sentry, an intellectual soldier who sits always over the Talmud, his eyelids never drooping and his head never nodding, always ever engaged, ever studious, never ceasing to delight in the Torah text. While I disagree with the cynicism expressed by Bialik in the poem, there are parts in his work that are truly moving. The poet reflects, and I'm drawing here on a translation of the poem, "Hapo beit ha'otzer l'nishmat ha'uma. Could this small study house be the smithy where the steely Jewish soul is forged? Is this," Bialik writes, "the source of its lifeblood? Who," Bialik wonders, "mi tzafanak samim bagvilim havalim? Who has filled these pages with undying magic? From where comes the power," Bialik asks, "to make these mildewed words, meaning on the Talmud page, light flames of passion in a heart that is outlived? Ulahatitz nitzotzotz be'enayim ashishot, and to strike living sparks into once extinguished eyes." Bialik's question is an important one. What is the source of the Torah's magic for Jews? And how did it brighten and enlighten these students' lives when they studied in a yeshiva in a world that was often dark and dreary? This is a question worth pondering as we look to the mitzvah that appears last in the text of the Torah at the end of Deuteronomy, but which appears toward the beginning of Maimonides' list of the positive commandments in the Torah. This is the obligation to write a Torah scroll. According to some medieval authorities, the purpose of the commandment is to enhance study, learning, and therefore the mitzvah could also be fulfilled through the accumulation and creation of other Torah texts beyond the sacred scroll itself. Whatever the case may be, for us today, the most surprising and striking aspect of the obligation is the verse from which it is derived. Kitvu lachem et ha-shira hazot. Write, Moses says to Israel, write for yourselves this shira. If, as the Talmud teaches, the word shira is referring to the entire Torah scroll, then the next question becomes, what is a shira? The word in Hebrew has two meanings. The first is song, and according to this translation, the text of the Torah, the scroll of the Torah, is being compared to sheet music. In what way is Torah akin to music, like unto a song? A beautiful explanation has been given by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, one which I think I referenced in Bible 365. And which deserves to be cited here again. Rabbi Sacks writes, "Music is a form of sensed continuity that can sometimes break through the most overpowering disconnections in our experience of time. Faith," he continues, "is more like music than science. Science analyzes, music integrates. And as music connects note to note, so faith connects episode to episode, life to life, age to age, in a timeless melody that breaks into time. God is the composer and librettist. We are each called on to be voices in the choir, singers of God's song. Faith," he writes, "is the ability to hear the music beneath the noise." End quote. This is what it might mean for the Torah to be compared to a shira, a song. Judaism as continuity, human lives as notes that are joined to one another. But another interpretation, another translation of the word shira, is not song, but poem. And this is the approach taken by the man who served as the head of the yeshiva of Elazhin when Bialik was there, Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, my great-great-great-great-grandfather, known by the acronym Netziv, meaning pillar or prince. Netziv was a brilliant man. His writings encompassed the Talmud, Mishnaic and Gonic literature, as well as the Bible. His entire life was largely spent in Volozhin, and in his writings he reveals an incredible, dazzling depth. One such example can be found in the introduction to his commentary on the Torah, and he reflects on the fact that the obligation to write a Torah scroll is derived from the reference to writing a shira, and Netziv renders the verse, "Write for yourselves this poem." Poetry, Netziv tells us, is different than prose. Poetry may have few words, but therefore the delight in the study of a poem can be found in the fact that it requires careful, constant examination to uncover its true meaning, a meaning that is often multifaceted. A poem is approached again and again if it is a truly great one, and new insights can be found from it. It is true, as Dirac argued, that at times a poem and its meaning is not immediately clear, but that is because the best of poetry is a genuine expression of human emotion. And in response to Dirac and his assault on poetry, we can cite Robert Frost, who said, quote, "A poem begins with a lump in the throat, a homesickness or a lovesickness. It is a reaching out toward expression, an effort to find fulfillment. A complete poem is one where an emotion has found its thought, and the thought has found words," end quote. The Torah, Netziv teaches us, is compared to God's expression of his love for us, and the delight, the wonder, the spiritual rejuvenation that is found in learning, the enlightenment in the encounter that Bialik wondrously and wonderingly describes, is rooted in the fact that uncovering the layers of meaning in the Torah is an endeavor in which we can engage again and again. And that endeavor has served as a source of delight sustaining the Jewish people throughout the centuries. In my discussion of Torah as song in Bible 365, I mentioned the article by Gene Weingarten in the Washington Post, describing the experiment he conducted in which the violinist Joshua Bell played his Stradivarius at the Metro, the Washington, D.C. subway, and almost no one stopped to listen. The exception, Weingarten tells us, were children who would pause entranced until they were pulled forward by their parents. Weingarten, in the article explaining this phenomenon, quotes Billy Collins, the American poet, who theorized that children are natural poets because they heard the heartbeat of their mother in the womb, instilling in them the rhythm of iambic pentameter. And then Collins joked that life, after they are born, helps the poetry leave them. The truth is, when I read this, I was reminded of the Talmudic description of children in the womb being taught Torah by an angel and forgetting it at the moment they are born. The poetry of the Torah lies deep in the Jewish heart. It is there to be remembered, found again. And as song or as poetry, it will, in a Jewish encounter, evoke emotion as only the Torah can. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.